And he got a standing ovation because those people that paid $1,000 a plate knew that they had just learned a very important lesson. Tell your story. I didn't scare you, did I? Question that a man's not asking. Okay, just don't answer questions that people... So I used to say spiritual things. Oh, yeah, and they were involved in this and this occult thing. And you could go on for hours till they tell you what they're involved in. Okay? So just say, and this, notice that this question doesn't have any pressure on it. See, you guys from Russia, see, this question is phrased where it doesn't put heat. So I'm saying, are you interested in Christian things? See, it's a non-committal. You can say yes or no. So either you're interested or not. And what's the next question there?
Have you ever considered becoming a real Christian?
Okay. You see how I'm still kind of far off from the guy? See, I'm kind of off here. Have you ever considered becoming a real Christian? See, I'm still kind of here. Now, but it doesn't make any difference what he says. Just listen to what he says, because that's going to tell you where you go next. So he says, well, yeah, I've considered. And what's the next question?
If someone were to ask you what a real Christian is, this what man. Would you tell them?
Ah, see, here's where you're starting to tweak a little bit. See, this guy has been exposed. How many of you guys, before you became a Christian, knew how Christians should behave? Pat, did you? Before you became a Christian, did you? Is it Paul? Paul. I'm sorry, my eyes are getting bad. Or somebody that... Before you became a Christian, you could tell what Christians should do, right? You knew how they should behave. Well, the guy you're talking to, is he going to be any different? He knows how you should behave. See? He knows what you should do. Do you know what a Christian should do? It may be right. It may be kooky. I mean, he may think that a Christian is somebody who shaves her head and has a top notch coming out here, you know, and he ties a pink ribbon on it. I mean, you know, he doesn't know what a real Christian is. And what's the next question?
Would you like to hear what the Bible has to say about what a real Christian
is? Now, see, if you ask a guy what a real Christian is, if he knows what a real Christian is, he'll tell you. Don't fight with him. See, don't fight with him. If he says a real Christian is one who believes in reincarnation, just back up. Reincarnation, that's interesting. Do you take a Brahmist view or a more traditional view? Now, one of two things. Either he really does know about reincarnation or he's blowing smoke. Because non-Christians do this. They throw up smoke screens. They want to get you off. What I used to do, people knock on the door, I'd tell them I was a Catholic. And it made them mad. For some reason, when I tell people, they'd knock on the door with a Bible, I'd say, I'm a Catholic. And they'd just get mad at me. But I never had to deal with it. So I said, thank you very much, you're rude, and I shut the door on them. I mean, I had this, you know, how to get rid of, how to stave off the gospel. For years I worked that game. I'd tell them I was Catholic. But see, and by the way, if somebody believes in reincarnation, you're not going to die if you listen to them. Do you know that? See, if your faith is in discussion, if he knows what he's talking about, because you may even... Did you ever consider when you ask a guy a question and he answers it, you may actually learn something? Did you know that a lot of non-Christians know stuff that we could benefit from and we could listen to them, and when they talk to us and we hear them, they can actually tell us things that's useful about subjects that we don't know anything about, like reincarnation? See? Well, what's the traditional approach? When somebody says, like Ted, if I say, well, I believe in reincarnation, what's your first impulse?
Shift it off to something else or take control of the conversation.
And get a hold of that Bible, and you got 599 verses. Back, and I got 599 times to refute everything you say. Because everything you say, I'm just going to throw it back on. Because, see, now I know that I can tweak you, see? Now I know that I can maneuver you and I can outmaneuver you because now you're playing my game, see? I'm playing your game, excuse me, I had that backwards. See, now I'm playing your game, and now you're just, you're sparring, see. You're dodging. We don't have to do that, because this is the Word of God. And God is in heaven watching all this, and He's orchestrating. We don't have to play these games, but if we honestly listen, and we take time, like I said, nobody is going to die from hearing about a cult. You will not die, you know, you won't start throwing up. Just listen. You may actually learn something new. Non-Christians actually know some things, particularly about the way they think about things. And every time you learn how a non-Christian thinks about things, when you know how a guy thinks, where do you know what to do? Now you know where to go. Okay, next question. I'd like to hear what the Bible... Is that the one?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, now we're... Would you like to hear what the Bible has about the reality? Now you started to say, Ted, see, now he's going to make a... Because you've already gone... established a pattern of listening. You've established a relationship with the guy. He sees you as friend and not his enemy because you listen to him. Never try to prove that there's a God, and never try to make a guy believe the Bible is the Word of God. Don't waste your time, guys. It's an exercise in futility. Spend your time on sharing the gospel. Look, back of my truck, I got a 44 Red Hawk. It has a speed clip, and I can put that speed clip in with a flip of the wrist, and I've got 6 rounds in there, packed with 44 Magnum hollow points. Now, what do you think would happen when I load that thing and I point it over here at Justin and pull the trigger? What do you think is going to happen?
He's going to die.
It would blow his head off. That thing makes a hole this big. So Justin says, I don't believe that that's a gun. And that's the last sound. The last sound he hears will be that click where that hammer falls on that firing pin. I'm sorry, I'm a pacifist. But you see what I'm saying? So it doesn't make any difference. See, he doesn't have to believe this is the Word of God. All he has to do is be dumb enough to listen to it. See, if you can get him under the Word of God, you've got him. See, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what? By the Word of God. See, this is God's Word. And it is quicker and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so he says, I don't believe that. Okay, good. I don't believe a word of that. See. That's a Hebrew fairy tale. See, all you got to do is get his yes, then you share the bridge with him. And by the way, you guys all get that one-verse bridge? You get that pamphlet they're passing out, the one-verse bridge illustration? If you don't have that, get one. How to share the bridge illustration using Romans 6:23, one-verse bridge. Put together by Randy Raisman. Good stuff, man. I mean, just on the airplane, whip a napkin out, you know. Someplace. Yeah. I got one. This one right here. One verse evangelism. You have one of those? Here. Okay. Wait a minute. I may have one other in here. Let me see. Ah, look. Man, that's the reason we don't have any out there. Somebody got them all. Here you go. You don't want to get him one up on you. Hey, that's the best illustration in the world. You learn how to use this, you'll be dangerous. There won't be a heathen safe in your school. Okay? You learn how to do your testimony and share this bridge illustration. By the way, my pastor told me the other day that the bridge illustration is the most shared illustration in evangelism today. He's getting me a book that says that. He read it in a book in one of his... He's getting his PhD, and so we're going to have to call him Dr. Michael. But he's getting his PhD, and he says that the bridge illustration is the most shared illustration in the world. Says this guy that wrote a book on evangelism says so. We'll see what happens. But that one verse stuff, that is dynamite. I guarantee you. Man, I've used that on shoe boxes. Matter of fact, I was just in Sam's Club in Temple, Texas, and got to talking to this guy about computers and started sharing the bridge with him and found out he was a Pentecostal minister, Assemblies of God minister. But I gave it a shot, and he liked the illustration, so now we're communicating with email, and I'm helping him learn some stuff about evangelism. He wants to learn how to do personal evangelism, so I'm helping him with his testimony. I mean, that's, you know, I would have rather that he was a non-Christian, but it had been more fun that way. But I had bad luck that way. I run across... The only place I meet non-Christians is in the... In your testimony is going to be the Word of God, how you became a Christian. Okay? I'm getting ahead of myself. Well, let me talk about what a testimony is not. A testimony is stating the facts. What it's not is just kind of hitting all over the board, because it's something. This is how I turned my life over to God. These are the verses that this is what God used in my life. And this guy was sharing this verse. It was John 3:16. And it just spoke to my heart. And as he shared that verse, I realized that I was a sinner and that my sin had offended God and that I needed to turn my life over to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, see what he's hearing? See the beauty of this? See, here's a guy who says, no, I'm not interested in hearing what the Word of God says. And what's he hearing? He's hearing the Word of God. And that's not dishonest, by the way. Why? Because you're sharing your personal testimony. And by the way, if your personal testimony doesn't have in it the Word of God, then you may need to rethink, what your testimony says. Because God used the Word of God to bring you to an understanding of what you need to do. Otherwise, well, you could be in trouble. So you need to do some things about that. Now, this is kind of a take-home lesson. And if you'll turn to the very back page, I don't have it appendixed, but these are the questions. And this is, you can see, this is kind of the computer flow diagram. And you only have to make, you know, your diamond, your decision, you go from question to question to question. And this is so you can kind of get a flow. I think these are good questions. These work. I found that these questions work cross-culturally. And, you know, either he doesn't want to hear or he does want to hear. If he wants to hear, share your testimony with him later, but get right to the gospel. If he doesn't want to hear, share your testimony. So, no, testimony. Yes, share the bridge illustration. Either way, you get the Word of God to him. Okay? Now, let's do a little Bible study here. And what I want you to do is look up those verses on the second page where it says how to share your testimony. Actually, it's the first page on how to share your testimony after the introduction. On Acts 22:1 and Acts 22:2, just look at those passages and write down what he said as a Roman officer. He's beaten by a Roman officer and brought before the Jews. And also in Acts 22:3 and Acts 26:2-3. Just kind of get a feel for, and if you don't want to look the verses up, they're on the next page there on page 2. I think that's, yeah, it's New King James. Okay, what are some of the things you notice about the way Paul approached this thing? Just some things that you saw. Just speak up.
Well, spoke to them in their language.
In their language, okay, we've talked about that. What else?
Identified himself as a fellow Jew.
Identified himself as a fellow Jew. You bet.
Gave his qualifications.
Then he gave his qualifications. This is why I can say I'm a fellow Jew. Here's my, you know, here's my pedigree. Okay, what else?
Well, he responds to their surprise at how...
Just because a guy's a non-Christian, you don't have to be rude to him. You don't have to pick a fight with him. See? Sometimes we set ourselves up by the way we approach people. See? And yeah, he was polite. I taught my sons to be polite. I raised two sons and two daughters and chased the boys away. So I've chased the boys away and also helped my sons through bad times with the girls. And I always taught them to be polite. And so they're in Southern California and out in La Jolla. If any of you guys know about La Jolla, La Jolla is old money, you know, down by the bay, you know, two-bedroom house, you know, $1.5 million, you know, down by the Hoya Cove. And so he was playing in this house where they had a tennis court behind the house, and he's playing with this little girl, and she was kind of an ample little girl, but she was sweet, and he was playing mainly because she had a tennis court. So he was trying to think of something nice, and so they'd played a couple of sets of tennis, and they're sitting there drinking Gatorade and mopping up, and he leans over to her and says, you know, you don't sweat much for a fat girl. So see, when we can give honest, I figured Aggies, that's an Aggie type thing, okay, the core in here, you can give honest compliments. It's not wrong to tell people that they're doing good. That's not evil. You catch people doing good. Nothing wrong with it. Okay, let's go on. What is the personal pronoun that Paul uses in his testimony?
I.
You notice that the only time he says you is when? He's addressing the other person. And what's he doing when he's addressing the other person? He's not saying turn or burn, is he? See? He's not saying that. Now, I'm not against turn or burn. I mean, you know, there may be a time you just need to look at a guy and say, well, you know, by the way, you know, you keep on this course, you're going to go to hell. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But it's not necessarily the first time you meet a guy telling him he's going to hell. He'll figure it out, by the way. You'd be surprised. Non-Christians figure the gospel out pretty well. And you show them the bridge with the cavern. They understand that if they don't do this, they're going to go to hell. I mean, they figure this out. Okay? So, we're going to have to go. What style do you think Paul was using? Yeah. First person conversational. He was addressing them. Okay? Now, this is important. This is very important. Be factual, be specific, be personal, be brief, and be real. See? And that's all on page 3. Now, what I want you to do is think about on page 3, we're working into writing your testimony. Think about before you became a Christian, what on 16,000 U.S. Marines and 26,000 active duty military total, 16,000 who are active duty Marines, and chase them around and share the gospel with them. That's really hard duty, but they've been asking us to go to Okinawa. See, Bernie's the kind of guy, you know, he says, well, Donnie, I don't know about this. We need to think about this. You need to think about it. Okay, well, what do you think? Don't be shy, Bernie. Tell her what, and he does. Boy, I tell you, he just lays it right. And boy, I need that. See, I need a brother that's faithful. And so we've got this mutual relationship. By the way, this is free. How many of you guys believe in Christian accountability? Okay. When most of us talk about accountability, and let me confess, a lot of navigators, when we talk about accountability, we're talking about you being accountable to me. You ever notice that? Next time a navigator wants to check your verses, you say, well, brother, you can check my verses, but can I have your verse back and I'll check yours? Uh-oh! See, that's accountability. See, accountability is when I give you my verse back and you review me on that verse. Now I can review you. That's accountability. See, that is biblical accountability. Now, Bernie and I had a conversation. We have a staff study every week, and our staff gets together down in Corpus, the NAV staff. And we're talking about accountability in a study. So Bernie and I have been together for 7 years. And he's been around the Navigator ever since he was in the military academy, and he retired. He's F-14 pilot. He's a retired Navy guy. I said, Bernie, am I accountable to you? And he said, yes. See, I always ask questions I know the answer to. It's safer that way. And with Bernie, he's predictable. And I said, now, are you accountable to me? He said, yeah. I said, now, have we ever had this conversation before? No. See, if true accountability is not necessary to give a guy a list of 18 things. See, true accountability is something that grows out of a relationship. Does that make sense? See, we've never had a conversation about accountability because we didn't need to have a conversation about accountability. The other thing I've never done, I've never said, okay, Scott, you need to memorize this verse. I have never said that in my life. In 25 plus years with the Navigators, I've never told a guy to memorize a verse. What I say, here's 1 John 5:11-12, let's memorize it. And we memorize it. If you don't want to, you don't. But you know what happens? You do. I don't know why that is. People just, here, let's memorize this. And they do. Do they do that in Russia? Memorize scripture? Do you start memorizing, they just start memorizing, right? Works, doesn't it? See, it's a cross-cultural thing. Works! See? The Word of God works! We're getting off our subject. Okay. Now, your conversion experience. Okay? Now, once you think about the examples or instances that illustrate your open door areas, and I'm not going to embarrass anybody by, you know, I had one workshop where a guy was a child molester, and that was his open nerve, and we didn't want, he didn't want to share that, so we didn't let him share it. These are interesting workshops, so we have some interesting people in here, just like you guys. So basically, look for examples from your life. What are the open nerve areas? Okay? Then the principles.